Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, America and around the world. The SRI Label Group, Wildlife Educational Services, and Blog Talk Radio presents Larry and Cheryl Batson discovering our wild world and the music of the SRI Label Group. It's time for animal tracks, wildlife conversation, and great music. Join us and enjoy Larry Batson's Wild World Animal Tracks.
Well, hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana, which is starting to warm up, starting to thaw out. This is Larry Batson. Welcome once again to Animal Tracks. We've got a great show. Say hi, Cher.
Hi, Cher. Oh, wait, that's not right. Hi.
We're so excited. Cindy Nash is going to be with us in just a little bit, and we're going to be talking music and teachers and stuff, and it's going to be fun. Absolutely blast here on Animal Tracks on Blog Talk Radio.
You, who are on the road, must have a code that you can live by. And so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you. Of 70 years, can't know the fears that your elders grew by. And so please help them with yours. They see the truth before they can die. Teach your parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams, the one they fix, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and
teach your children. We have one of the best teachers in anywhere from Warsaw, Indiana. Our good friend Cindy Nash joined us this week on Animal Tracks. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Cheryl.
Hey, we're great teachers here tonight, I guess, eh?
Right.
We are. Absolutely. Yeah. We were just talking.
Well, there's a few
talking
in the house other than us, but those are the beasts.
Yeah, that's true. That silly baboon considers it a teacher. So we
teaches me every day.
Every day. You know, we were talking before we went on. For the listeners that may not know, because we do have a worldwide audience here, Cheryl and I have been taking animals to schools for many, many, many years. And Cindy, of course, has been a teacher at all the schools I think we went to. And it all. What year did you start teaching, Cindy?
I started teaching in 1982, but I didn't come to Warsaw till 1985.
Where did you teach, or where were you before Warsaw?
I grew up in the Anderson area. I went to Anderson University, and I taught in Connersville my first year of teaching. And then I moved back. It was just a temporary position, so I moved back to Anderson and did substitute teaching because in the early 80s, there were not a lot of teaching jobs. And funny enough, I was at a state fair, or not a state fair, a county fair in Madison County, and a friend of mine who lived in Warsaw introduced me to a teacher, and I found out that they had a teaching job in Warsaw, so I moved here, and I've been here ever since, and I've taught, at almost all of the Warsaw schools, because my first 5 years, I was a gifted and talented pull-out teacher, so I drove from school to school and did that for 5 years, and then I taught at Atwood, Harrison, and Claypool. And
oh,
I've been
some of our favorites
ever since
too.
My Atwood days.
Well, now Larry's done it longer than I have, you know.
Right, right. Because I remember you joined him.
Yeah, yeah. He, trial by fire. That's how he teaches.
Maybe you should tell Cindy. Maybe you should tell Cindy, Cheryl, in your own words, a little story when we did our first program together. And I told before that, I told her, I said, you need to go buy some animal guy clothes.
Yeah.
And
then,
yeah.
That's fine.
Tell the story. Tell the story.
The first day we go, we were using animals that he'd had for a long time, full grown. Everybody was full grown. Professionals, though. We had a full-grown cougar and a badger. We had, of course, at that time, we had Dolly the baboon, the hamadryas baboon.
Right.
There was snake and tortoise, I believe, a Gila monster. We just basically go buy animal guy clothes. So you're getting in the truck, you drive way earlier than I ever got up because I was a barber.
Okay.
We don't care for early mornings. And
yes.
So we get to the school. He, right before he gets out to go up to speak to the principal and the folks at the school, he says, now, when I get finished talking about that Gila monster, he said, you just come on out here and grab that badger. He said, it'll hiss and growl at you, but just grab it anyway and bring it on in. And he just shut the door and left me there. And
I sat
there and I looked around and I looked at those animals and I said, oh, buddy, you guys going to show me how to do this? Because I had no idea. It was just, there you go. And I was a nervous wreck for probably the first year, maybe a little longer. Every time I'd call a school bus, I'd feel physically ill. Ooh, ooh. I stood around a barber chair. I'd never stood in front of kids, you know, with a cougar on a lead. But, yeah, there you go. Trial by fire.
Start out with a hamster or something, not a badger.
No.
Full grown. Yeah, no. Just grab
gotta
the
go
badger.
Big or go
and,
home.
And the funny thing was, is through the years, you know, Larry's known so many people that at one point in time, Jack Hanna was looking for animals to use for something he was doing. And Larry told him the same thing. He goes, well, I've got a badger. He said, but it'll hiss and growl at you, but you just have to grab it anyway and whatever. And, he had no interest in dealing with that at all. He never wanted to use Larry's badger. So I can always give myself the credit to not have enough sense to not go grab the badger. So
yeah.
What can I say? It's
you
my fault. No, my mother would say, my good Southern mother would always use the term, no sense, no feeling. If you don't have any sense,
yeah.
You don't have any feeling. And I guess there you go.
There
well,
you go.
The thing is, yeah, And the thing is that Cheryl. Cheryl has, she used to be, Cindy, she used to be totally, totally terrified of snakes, reptiles, all of that. I mean,
I was a barber. I had been around a few snakes and reptiles. Oh, wait, wait. I mean, not the real ones. The other kind.
But we were doing something somewhere for an event, and what it involved was putting the python on people. And at that time, the Polaroid camera was still around, and we still Polaroid pictures. Yeah, there was cash flow involved. Well, we had a young man operating the that particular booth, and Cheryl said the money. He was a little overwhelmed, and the money wasn't moving quickly. The snake wasn't being put on the person quickly enough for the picture to be taken. That's what she thought. So the guy jumped, grabbing the snake and coordinating all. And she was, I mean,
it was bad. It might have been bad. I think that might have been a greedy thing at that point in time. All that people were wanting to give us money, and I needed to take it for them. Of course.
Yes.
And then, you know, the fact that I had to hold the snake became secondary. Oh, I have to touch it and put it on people. Oh, I forgot.
Oh, no.
Trial by fire.
And Cheryl's mother, she was just the best. But it was like, that's where Cheryl got her fear or hatred of snakes, was from her mother. And I can remember one thing. Thanksgiving.
People are, though. I mean, that's nothing new.
Well, yeah. But I can remember one Thanksgiving. I had a large wooden box sitting in the living room, and Cheryl's
and
mom
And Cindy
left.
Knows the box, yes.
Yeah, yes. She saw the box, and she says, "Don't you open that box." She was pretty.
Yeah, she knew.
Oh, yeah,
but
she was
the funny part of that same thing was Larry's brother was here and spent the whole day. Didn't say too much. They have kind of the same deep voice. And finally, after the day was about ending, he finally said to Larry, "Larry, there's something in that box in there." And then my mom reiterated, "Don't you dare open it either." I was like, okay. Makes the company feel good when they visit, you know. Don't
right,
open the box.
They know that there's something in the box.
People used to ask before they use our restroom facility whether there was anything in the bathtub, because I've had an alligator in there swimming around, or a snake, but anyway.
Lizard, hard to know. That's not good.
So Cindy.
Enough about Larry and I. Let's talk about Cindy.
I love reptiles, so I would not be afraid of the box. None of the rest of my family likes them. I always have to get the snakes out of the shed because everyone else is afraid of them except me.
Well, see, that's a good thing. That's a good thing to be able to do. I would have called upon your skill more than once.
See, I've had neighbors ask me to get snakes away from them too because I'm not afraid. And it's just funny how people's fear of snakes are so dramatic. I used to scare my mother when I was a small child because I'd find snakes and I'd bring them in and she'd run to the bathroom and lock the door, and I felt power with that. It's like,
well, you would have had power over me. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that happened to me with snakes as well was they get sick. We've worked with the yellow ones, the albino ones, and they seem to be a little more sensitive. And they'll get colds and get, you know, and you have to give them antibiotics and liquids. And so I've learned about them. I've learned to have lungs and hearts and, you know, once education. It's that key you teachers keep, that education key. It opens so much, and it's like, oh, okay, has a lung.
Yeah, once you know about them, it's not as scary.
they start, it's like, well, that's pretty neat, you know, and you don't even think that a snake would get boogers, but they do.
They do.
Just like the kids, they get them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
they
it's,
probably
you
don't
know.
Pick them though, since they don't have hands.
That's true. Oh. That is true.
Well,
yeah.
You know,
that was one of the things
about
that
being with kids all day.
Oh well, that's a whole chapter right there. Oh my gosh, that's a whole show. Oh, what did Cheryl used to say when we were doing our show? She couldn't look at the first few rows because that's where all the picking was going on, and it was like
right
because
the kindergartners haven't learned to not do it in public. So
what does it go? It goes up to about fourth grade, doesn't it? About fourth grade, they quit, don't they?
Right, most of them anyway.
It seems like it, doesn't it? Because I would always laugh and say those first few rows, those are the booger picking rows.
Oh, they do.
At first,
they
when
do
I first
it all
helped Larry.
Day long.
I guess
they do it
all
day long.
I remember stories of the one friends in school in first grade that did that still to this day. I can remember two people in particular that we, you know, everybody knew not to hold their hand.
That's a terrible stigma. That's a terrible stigma to live with, you know?
It is. Well, and I had a boy at my school who came from a family of 9 kids, and I just think his parents never taught him to wipe his nose, or maybe they never had anything in the house to wipe their noses on. But
with that many kids, you kind of lose count of whose nose is checked.
Right. And he would sit across from me, and he'd have this big glob of snot that would start inching its way down. And I would sit there and just think, oh my gosh. And it would get to his lip, and then as soon as it would touch his lip, it warmed it all back up. I always tell my students that story. They love to hear stories of my childhood, so that's always one of my fun stories. I said, you know that kid, don't you? And they all nod their heads.
Oh, do they don't point and nod, do they?
No.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
That's funny.
I think I sat next to that kid in school. I think I sat next to him, and it was like
I felt like I sat next to him that whole school year. I kept thinking, oh, I wish she'd change our seats.
Wish somebody move me. Yeah. I wish one of us would get in trouble or something.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's beyond me. Like I said, Cheryl was a camp counselor one year, an art counselor. They did tie dyes and stuff, and she noticed that the children weren't, you know, they weren't proud at all. I mean, it was like
no. I was amazed. I, you know, it's different when you cut people's hair to where being around kids like you guys do. It was a new thing to me. I would ask them, I would have them, you know, fart right next to me. I'd say, could you walk away from me when you do? No, no.
Yeah.
What? Please. There's a tree. Go. Oh, my goodness. I didn't even know people did that. So I was, you know.
Right. And when you're trapped in a classroom with them, you have to.
Oh, my goodness.
See, I keep things in my drawer to help with that. Like, I have essential oils that I kind of dab underneath my chin, or I have other, you know, I have Bath and Body Works lotion that I rub on my hands so that I can't. Oh, and when you're with a reading group, that's the worst when they have gas. Oh, my.
Because by then they're probably reading and then they relax. You know, I've always made a joke because we travel so much in the van with the baboon, and, you know, that's part of being around monkeys, even, like, you know, all of our kids. And I made a joke that someday I'm going to make my own perfume because I'm sure I always smell like Ode to Baboon. Because, you know, you drive around in a truck for 8 hours with a baboon, and, yeah, Chanel. Chanel number 7. Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah. We've actually had like a tiger cub in our truck going somewhere. And for some reason, the feeling of going down a highway is like a laxative to them.
Oh, and, yeah.
And you literally, Cindy, have to pull over and get bail out of the truck, remove the and then clean it thoroughly. Because you can't see the drive. Your eyes are watering so bad.
Yes, it's definitely.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's so, bad enough with the house cat. Because, like, even if I take my house cat to the vet, the cats just don't ride as well as dogs do.
Oh, yeah, when they get nervous and stuff, that's not a good thing. Yeah, right. Yeah. There's differences. Yeah, that's funny. So,
oh, my gosh.
I was going to ask you, when you became a teacher, I know that you're into being in plays, into drama, and I know you're an artist
right.
as well as a musician. Did you decide on teaching first, or were you interested in drama or music?
It was kind of a combination. When I was in early elementary school, I had a first cousin who was at Ball State when I was in first and second grade. I can't remember what year she graduated, but she was about 13 years older than me, and I was like her little extra pupil. She would practice things that she was learning in college on me, and she'd take me to her dorm room, and I'd hang out with the college kids, and so I was like the very last cousin, so I was a lot younger than all the other ones. And since she was a teacher, and she was the first one on our side of the family to get a college education, my dad's side of the family was very poor. And so when she became a teacher, I knew I could do that too. And I remember telling my second grade teacher, I watched her count lunch money, and I said, I want to be a teacher, but I don't think I can count all that money. She said, well, someday when you're a teacher, I bet teachers don't have to count lunch money anymore. And she's right. I've never had
that's true.
My whole career, I've never had to count lunch money.
Oh, that's funny.
Count field trip money or book order
but
money,
not
but
lunch.
For lunch money.
Oh, that's very fun.
So,
isn't
that
funny?
Kind of fun. But when I started college, high school was, of course, still fresh on my mind, and I was involved in the drama department and thought I wanted to be a high school drama teacher. I was taking my very first introduction to education class, and our teacher our professor had us draw a picture of ourselves as a teacher. What would our ideal classroom look like? Well, I didn't even think to draw high school students. I drew little bitty kids sitting on a rug with me sitting on the floor and sunshine streaming in the window with a storybook in my hand. And
oh, my goodness.
Cindy? I'm not sure you were meant to teach at the high school level. I was so shocked because it didn't even dawn on me that I had not taught that. And then the more high
school but your inner self knew it because you drew the right picture.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
And I said, but I just love acting and I love drama. And she said, but you can do that with small children.
Younger people.
And so she was exactly right. I was so glad she led me into elementary because I adored doing drama with children, and I've had drama clubs after school, and now that I'm teaching music, I'm spicing up the music department because the last couple, and nothing against the last couple of music teachers, but they would just stand there and sing, and then it would be over. Well, I've got them doing little dances and stuff for upcoming programs in March and teaching them little moves and little dramatic faces to do with
Perfect.
Their songs.
So, well, nowadays there's no differentiating between music and movement now. I mean, you know, you
it's not like
they just stand and play music anymore. There's dancing involved in everything.
A lot of my curriculum and my standards include dance too. And oh my gosh, the kindergartners crack me up. I would love to watch. Oh yeah, if I say this song's a dancing song, some of them will sit with their little arms folded and say, "I'm not dancing." If I say, "Now this song is not a dancing song, so sit down." Oh nope, they're up around dancing around.
Oh, there you go.
Cantankerous. With the kindergartner. So now I don't even say if it's a dancing song or not. I just start dancing, and if they want to join me, they do.
If they feel it, they come with it.
Yeah.
That's it.
They're just at a funny age.
Well, I was going to ask you if you got to choose the music you teach, if you got to choose, you know, the songs.
I do for the most part.
Yeah.
I have a curriculum to follow, but since I've taught for 36 years, I don't let anybody tell me what to do anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not like...
Right, I basically do the things... I really like the curriculum they've purchased. It's new this year for all the music teachers, so it's not like I'm on the outside as a new person.
Yeah.
So everybody's learning it at the same time. And since I'm used to investigating curriculum, I kind of feel like I've got the upper hand with the other music teachers on that part because they aren't used to having very detail-oriented curriculum. So I've had fun being able to at least know something about that, and then when they
bring
get
some more detail
level,
to it,
right? Because sometimes when
and that helps them
meeting,
too, yeah.
Right,
you guys
can
all share.
Exactly, and I can kind of give them insight to what regular classroom teachers expect too, so many of the things that we're required to do now from the state. Not that I like a lot of the things we're required to do, at least I have more experience with keeping the data and all that stuff that we
doing
need
the
to
stuff
have.
For what you have to do and
right,
still adding
right.
some teaching.
Yes, and luckily with music, we don't have to do as much as regular classroom teachers. So as I get closer to the end of my career, I really enjoyed not having to do some of the state requirements that I used to have to do.
You know, and really, in my opinion, you guys, you are the cream of the crop because you guys know all those ins and outs, and you know the good and what gets the kids going, what gets
them
into it and wanting to do it, you know. And
exactly.
I'm sure music isn't that tough to get them into. Even if they do have their arms crossed.
Right. Almost all of them are excited when they come in. And even the fifth and sixth graders, you know, it was funny. I was playing some Queen music for them, and they're like, "How do you know about Queen?" I'm like, "Well, they're not new."
Yeah. Believe it or not.
So they were like, there's a movie out about them. I said, I know. I grew up. I was a teenager when they were popular, and they just look at me so funny, like, man,
I've
you
been
are
to their
old.
Concerts. Yeah.
Oh, I have a Queen. Yeah. I have a Queen story.
Okay.
Yeah, they played the Fort Wayne Coliseum. And this was probably, I was, I don't know, 19 or so.
A million years ago.
Yeah, and me and a guy drove up from Indianapolis to see them. They were just kind of popular. And so we go up and talk to one of the roadies, and we said, boy, really, they're really good. And he says, well, go tell them. He said, you can go back there, go tell them. And I was too intimidated. I wouldn't go back there. I wish I had now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's you know that story.
What do we think about that? If he should have gone back or not? Now that we know all
that was really a bad story. I totally apologize for that story. We're going to take a break.
You could have been a groupie, Lair.
Taking a break.
SRI Jazz is proud to present their newest release, This is Ray Brown Jr. That's right, Ella Fitzgerald's son continues to entertain audiences with his warm and charming vocals, making this one of the best vocal jazz albums of the year. Here are some sample tracks from the album. Visit our website to hear all of them in their entirety. Just go to srirecords.com or click on the banner in your media player now.
It's wonderful, marvelous, you should care for me. Awful nights, paradise, what I love to see. My baby, when she walks by, all the bells go, I know why. Simply 'cause that girl's so fine. If she'd ever leave me, I'd lose my mind. She's got the kind of loving, kissing and a hugging, sure he's mellow. Glad that I'm a fella, and I know, 'cause she knocked me off my feet. Have mercy on me. I know for certain, one I love. I'm through with flirting, it's you that I'm thinking of. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love. Oh, you must take the A-train to go to Sugar Hill, way up in Harlem.
You've been listening to a few sample tracks from the new album, This is Ray Brown Jr. You can hear all the songs in their entirety at srirecords.com. Support jazz music today at srirecords.com. Consideration provided by SRI Jazz.
Hi, everyone. This is Shelley Leibowitz, and you're listening to my friends Cheryl and Larry Batson on Animal Tracks here on Blog Talk.
Teacher from Jethro Tull, you know, Cheryl.
I know.
We have this new sound system, Cindy, and we've got this microphone. It's supposed to be a pretty fancy thing, but you have to push the red button before you can hear me.
No.
So,
yes, it's a flashing red button, and he just doesn't get it yet.
I don't understand it. And see, I have a second.
You know,
technical.
He's a very smart man, and Cindy probably understands this, but he drives me crazy because I always say, Larry is a smart student, but he just doesn't listen in class.
Yes.
Oh,
you know a child or have known in your time. Have you known those Larrys?
Right. You're right. Quite a few Larrys in my classes over the years.
Oh, you would have been sickened of me. I was probably after you.
I'd love to be a music teacher because he drove his music teachers crazy.
Oh, I bet. Were you the type to bring animals in your pockets?
Well, I had many tricks in school that I've told children about, though I'm not proud of it, is that when I was taking world history in high school, if I knew my grade was really going to be bad, which it usually was because I said to myself, history, who cares? You know, it's death over. Who cares?
It's history.
You know, yeah.
That's over.
And I have to take a class and listen about 40 minutes every day. But anyway, so and I was not a very good listener.
Told you.
So if my grade was really going to be bad, I knew if I made a map, drew a map and turned it in, that would get my grade to more desirable level. So
he could use his art.
Right. Well, you have to. That's how you survive in this life, is using your talents.
Well, yeah, and then she says Cheryl was getting ready to mention about my musical career or the music teacher. I decided I no longer wanted to be in the orchestra because there was something called the Beatles out. And I was not interested in
the orchestra. Just wasn't the Beatles, I guess.
You know, Paul McCartney's thing kind of looked like a violin, but it wasn't a violin, and that's what I was.
Right.
And I just I didn't want
to. So what
this.
Happened? Tell her what happened. She'll appreciate it. The teacher.
Well, the music teacher. In fact, I even still remember his name, Mr. Apt, APT. Classroom doors. We had a slender window that on one side of it. And he basically stood outside in the hallway and stared at me through that slender window for the entire class. And I'd every once in a while look up with a corner of my eye, see if he's still standing there, because I was supposed to be in orchestra. He was. And it didn't get me back in orchestra, but gosh, for that 40 minutes, I was pretty intimidated. So it was like.
Well, I bet.
So, without giving out any names, who has been, how do I want to put this, Cheryl? Your most spectacular student, maybe one of your most memorable ones, without telling us actually who it is, but entertaining tidbits about them.
Oh, man, so many. Well, one of my students that became somewhat famous was on national TV as The Bachelor. I had him in two different scenarios. He was in my church nursery group when he was a toddler, and then again as a Harrison fourth grader. I wasn't his homeroom teacher, but I had him when we switched for math classes or other things that we did like that. So that's my claim to fame.
Was he a lady killer then?
Yes, he was then too. He was very cute and had that flashy smile, and
he
knew there was something special about
him. He had the it thing.
And, and one of my favorite students also became my co-teacher for a while. And when you've taught long enough, it's always fun to see I've worked with three different students as four different teachers as fellow teachers that were former students. One of mine, we team taught at Harrison for a few years and did a multi-age classroom of third and fourth graders, and Randy Polston gave us the freedom to develop our own curriculum and everything. And then I was just very, very proud of her because she went on to go to Fort Wayne to become a teacher of doctors. She had a lot of great skills with technology, and Parkview Hospital was needing someone who could train doctors to use their new computer systems now that everything's computerized in hospitals. And just really happy to see her so happy. And she misses teaching, but oh my goodness, she probably makes three times the salary I do now.
Yeah.
And just to see how talented, you know, she was just.
And to get to watch her and know that you even had a part in it, too. You know, you did.
Right, because when I had her as a fourth grader, she was this skinny little freckled thing that was just kind of cute and kind of like a little butterfly. I just was so proud to see the woman she became. And
that she really grew into.
Right, and one thing that she had such a good memory about is the class that I had her in was a very small class that year, and I had them. It was when I was still fairly young and had an apartment, and they all came to my apartment one evening to have pizza, and we worked on this artifact box. We were mailing stuff back and forth to a town in New Jersey, and we would send clues to each other to find out what state we were from. So she was just really clever on knowing all those kinds of ideas, and she said that was one of her best memories of school, was getting to come to my apartment and see how
and
I lived as a
and
real person. Yeah.
That's really cool. That's really neat. See, that's so important to have, you know, women that young women can look up to, I believe.
Right.
It's a good thing.
Well,
that's a great thing.
Well, that is. And you've probably lost count of the amount of the number of children that you taught their parents, I'm sure.
Right, I have. It's astounding when I think about, well, and a few years ago when I had cancer, that's when I really knew what effect I'd had on many of my students because, you know, now with social media, you can keep in touch with people. And I had so many of my former students send prayers and messages and gifts and came and visited me. And just having that support meant so much. And, you know,
at the time when you had your cancer, I'm sure that you... You know, those are the times where you think, man, you know, what is my life? What's it about? And to have that, what a blessing. Because then you got to know that this is what I was for, what I'm doing, and, you know, and why I'm beating this stuff.
It always sounds weird, I'm sure, to people who haven't had cancer to say that it was such a blessing in my life to have that journey. Because it's something that you have a love-hate relationship with. You hate cancer. You hate how horrible you feel. You hate being afraid of whether or not you're going to lose your life over it. But at the same time, it was such a beautiful journey of knowing that I really was cared about and that I had so many people that loved me and so many people that didn't even really know me very well who brought meals and took care of my daughters and took care of me and offered rides to the hospital. And, you know, you just, it's almost like you get a chance to die before you do die because it's like you get to see what everybody
you get to see the appreciation
about you. Right.
On a one-on-one basis that way.
Warsaw is such a strong, wonderful community. I mean, that's our... it has to be our favorite town in the whole state of Indiana. The amount of support that we've received over the years. Yes, but
I'll agree. Having it's a small enough town to feel close to everybody, and to have everybody be supportive, and yet it's still a large enough town that you don't know everybody's business. But oh.
Yeah, you have some animosity, yeah, anonymity.
Right, yeah. Right, and we have a few restaurants and things like that. So I'm so happy that I moved here. It's been a wonderful place.
Well, I have another question. I know you're working on a play, aren't you?
Yes.
What are you guys doing?
To be Our Town, which is one of the most popular American plays ever. I have a small part this time. I'm a lady in a box.
Well, there you go.
And then I'm also a part of the church choir in the play. So I get to sing some hymns and kind of be in the background. So it's a beautiful play. I love this play. But, yeah. We have the Wagon Wheel Theater here in Warsaw, which is also a big blessing. We have professional theater, and we have community theater. We also have a lot of concerts, country singers, pop singers, jazz singers. We have comedians. I saw Howie Mandel last year. He was hilarious. And
was
so
he
it's,
funny?
It's a really... Yeah, it's a really wonderful theater. So so there was another dream of mine that got to come true. I never let go of, I let go of it when I had small children, but most of my life I've been involved in theater. So, I got to see my high school drama teacher a couple of times before he passed away, and was able to thank him, because when you're a teacher, you know how other teachers are about getting to know how your students turned out, and just thank him so much for inspiring me to, because I was such a shy child in high school, and he really, helped me realize that if I play a role, I'm not so shy. And
you could be that person and not be shy.
Right.
You take on that persona.
Right. A lot of outgoing people were like, I don't know how you get on stage. And I'm like, because I don't have to be Cindy. When I'm Cindy,
because
I'm
not me. Yeah. Actor. Yeah.
You know, I've always wondered. I was getting ready to say.
He loved any kind of attention. Excuse me. I didn't mean to.
Well, I noticed a couple parallels here. When she talked how shy she was in high school, I was as well. I couldn't get up in front of anybody and talk to them, even in just a classroom situation. It was not pretty. I mean, it was pathetic. So
that's not true. Your Aunt Laura said when you were a young boy that you would drag her upstairs in front of the chalkboard and make her listen to you talk about who knows what.
Yeah, but that was Aunt Yara. That wasn't.
that wasn't like a whole
bunch of high school kids looking at me, especially because I had a severe cold and that problem we were talking about with the children earlier and their bad habits they have. Well, I had a severe cold, so the entire time I was speaking to my high school class, I felt like never mind, I'm not going to go there.
But as the animal guy, you feel very confident because that's your role that you're playing.
Yeah.
You know so much about animals. And
well, that's true. That I will give him that. Usually in social situations, he hardly speaks at all. He hardly doesn't talk that much, or even if you're sitting around with friends and stuff, if you get him to tell stories and get him into, a storytelling story, he will. But for him to just sit around and chit-chat, no, that doesn't happen. But now you turn the camera on him, And hello, there it goes. You know, 4, 3, 2, 1, you're on, blah, blah, blah. Now, let's how do we stop him, right?
They've had that problem.
I will give you that.
They've had that problem. How do you stop it?
Yeah.
You know, it's a little now, silly.
Well, it's about me, because the kids will say to me, the kids will ask, why don't you ever talk? And Larry's answer is, what, Larry?
The show would be like 2 or 3 hours long. What the heck? What do you mean, why don't I let her talk? It'd be on forever. My gosh.
Yeah.
45
you know,
minutes.
The thing that the teachers would say on my report cards was, Cheryl has a lot of friends and she likes to talk to them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those
see,
would be the things
sister.
They'd say
my
to me.
My sister was the outgoing one.
That got me in trouble a lot. My teachers would use my not getting to attend art class to keep me in line.
Right.
Now look,
here's
Cheryl.
What works.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, now we've been talking about this a lot. It's been in the news a lot, so we'll talk about something serious. Is the lack of funding for music and education. Now, you are a music teacher, Cindy, so let's pretend I am Senator Hochschild, and you're explaining to me why we need music curriculum in schools.
Well, the biggest thing is brain development. I don't know if you've seen a lot of articles recently on how dementia and Alzheimer's patients can respond to music when they can't respond to anything else. Or they can recall lyrics to a song that's 60 years old, but they, you know, can't recall
their name.
Family members' names. And music is located in so many parts of your brain. It's got a very strong connection to the mass parts of your brain because of the patterns. And students who play an instrument or who sing or who dance have to recognize patterns in order to figure out their musical language or their dance language, and so do artists. And so with math, when you get a strong education in patterns, because when I taught kindergarten and first grade, I really spent a long time on patterns, because when you recognize those, that really helps the rest of your brain function well, and for those synapses to connect other parts of the brain. And music also, and just kind of like the example of my life, when you're involved in the arts, whether it's art or music or drama, it's a lifelong pursuit. I may not, you know, I'll use Larry's history thing. I love history, but history's not something that you are going to always depend on to be part of your life in
daily, but, yeah.
Right, but the artistic things do. And when schools don't have that funding, kids miss out on it. And the limbic system in your brain seeks pleasure. And if you're not getting pleasure from learning, then, you know, for some kids, it's music and art and PE that they look forward to every day. It's
mm-hmm.
not the regular thing. So
no.
When you can bring the arts as part of education, those kids who tune out for other things are at least going to have that limbic system, you know, fired up because, hey, I get to go to music class today or I get to go to art. And I know as a child, I'm a little bit more right-brained than a lot of other teachers are. And so I those were the classes I wanted to be in the most. I couldn't wait to get to high school, so I had choice of, you know, what I was studying. And then when I got to college, all of my elective classes were music and art and anything that was hands-on or just made more sense to me. I was good at the other parts of school, but those weren't what I loved. I loved
wasn't what you thought.
Getting to be
yeah.
creative. Yeah.
What you went
and if,
for.
And if we start raising a bunch of kids who are only doing test-taking skills, we're going to have a sad group of kids coming out of school not knowing how to do anything except take tests. And that just really bothers me. And that's another reason I wanted to teach music. I was getting a little burned out on all the test-taking skills. And even in kindergarten and first grade, it just made me sad on how much we were focusing on testing. And at least the little kids didn't always know when they failed. They'd get excited if they got one thing right.
That'd be me.
I'm still that way.
You know, and
yeah.
then when I was teaching fourth and fifth grade, some of the tests that we took on computers, they got their answers right away. And I would watch these fifth graders' shoulders slump after they got their test results. And I would just say to them, you are not this test. This is just a test. You know, whether you got 60% or 90%, that does not take away anything from you. And that's one reason I moved from fifth grade down to first grade, because I thought at least the first graders don't really know that
they're not getting stressed out. They're not getting anxiety from the situation that they have to take these tests all the time. And
right,
they're feeling less than
they
are.
Yeah. My last year in fifth grade, I was watching kids get sick.
Were you? Physically, because of worrying about it.
Right,
I hated taking tests in school.
Or they'd cry. Like, sometimes the really smart kids would cry because they knew they didn't know the answer. And it was almost better if you didn't know.
If you didn't even know, you didn't know. Yeah, yeah.
Because
that'd be worse.
Because I've watched some of the really smart kids be like, oh, my gosh, I have no idea how to figure this out. Where, you know, if you're just an average kid or a lower kid, you're like, okay, well, I'll guess C.
I'm going to guess and go C, D, 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 A. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I
and not have
know,
it.
I did that many multiple choice. I hope for the best. It was not pretty. Gosh, City, what a wonderful show. What a wonderful show.
I just love what you guys do for us to get kids who love animals to have that chance. And
well, I want to say something about the Warsaw schools. I still say that's one of the finest and best corporations in the entire state. And that the Warsaw Community Schools are blessed to have teachers like Cindy Nash, because there's lots of wonderful teachers. But, you can really tell how these teachers care about these students and the administrators and so forth. It's really just a wonderful community, wonderful school system, and you make that all happen, Cindy. They're blessed to have you. Let's put it that way.
Well, thank you. I love Warsaw schools. I've been very happy with my career.
Yeah, well, it's been spectacular. Cher,
now break a leg on that play, Lady
yeah,
in the Box.
Oh, I will. I'll have so much fun. I got in trouble last night for having too much fun.
Oh, well, see, that would be where I would be. You and I would be in trouble together.
Well,
I like to have too much fun.
My son.
It's a serious play because I'm not very serious.
Well, my son is a director, done a couple of plays in New York. He asked me for advice. I told him, give him a shot before this play. Make it better.
Yeah.
Drinking doesn't hurt.
Give him alcohol.
That's right. Well, thanks, Cindy. From our musical SRI label group, they are so wonderful to underwrite the show. Here's Ray Charles on Animal Tracks on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks, Cindy.
Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you, guys. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, everyone. This is Shelley Leibowitz, and you're listening to my friends Cheryl and Larry Batson on Animal Tracks here on Blog Talk Radio.